might be a fresh cup of hot coffee brought to you first thing in the morning. It might be the dishes washed at your child's birthday party so that you can enjoy. Could be an hour spent talking to a friend who really listens. Maybe a meal at your doorstep after a trying week. Could be an afternoon spent sorting clothing at the clothing bank. A night spent at the shelter caring for those without permanent housing. Might look like doing the wash for your overtired, overscheduled teen. It could be a trip across the globe to care for orphan children who are living in hard places. Service. All of those things and so many more are real life examples of how we can serve and be served. Over recent weeks, we've been learning all about how to bless others. Some of you are following along in the book Blessed by Dave and John Ferguson, which we'll talk a little bit about this morning. But we begin with prayer. We then listen to those around us. We eat with people. And today we're examining what it means to accept Jesus' invitation to each one of us to serve and to really bless others in personal and meaningful ways. We start by knowing that Jesus personally was involved in caring for others. He served those that he encountered as he encountered them. He saw a need and he met it. He calls us to do the very same thing. You see, Jesus knew of his almighty power, and yet he was committed to serving people around him. And it seems that our culture often gets this idea of service a bit backwards. Society tells us that the more we have, whether it be stuff, prestige, wealth, power, resources of all kinds, the better off we are. And somehow that the more we have, the more we get, the more we accumulate, puts us in this position to only be served by other people. But Jesus would say we're getting it wrong. In fact, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, we read, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The King of Kings, the Creator of all things, came to serve. For me, that's a wow statement. The Creator of all things came to serve. We see this most powerful example of Jesus' style of servant leadership in John's gospel through a story about foot washing. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, we read, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So let's back up a bit and really think about the context of what was happening here in the upper room the night before the crucifixion. In the old world, foot washing was a really regular, common practice. Today, it might feel a little bit different for some of you, but back in this time, it was common before almost every meal. And typically, what happened was an inferior or a servant person in the home would take care of this task. And let's be honest, it was probably pretty gross because this was a time in history when people typically just didn't wear shoes. So those who did the foot washing were typically seen as having low levels of social rank or not having much social honor. And this is in part why Simon Peter might have questioned Jesus when Jesus offered to wash Simon Peter's feet. He didn't know what to make of mighty Jesus offering to complete this really lowly task, serving those who might be perceived as beneath him in the social ranking. Ferguson writes, "Peter didn't realize what Jesus was doing. In just a few hours, Jesus would choose to be stripped and humiliated. His crown would again be set aside. This time it would be for a cross. He would take on the full weight of our sins and wash us once and for all with his grace so that we could be clean forever and restored to a right relationship with God. You see, Jesus did take the time to explain the meaning of foot washing. That was the scripture that we just read. But his actions and doing it himself. So Jesus directly serving, and this time it was through washing feet. His actions spoke louder than any words ever would. Perceived position or societal rank wasn't important to him. It never prevented Jesus from loving those people who were around him. Jesus living a lifestyle of servant leadership literally changed the world. Jesus living a lifestyle of servant leadership, it literally changed the world for every single one of us. If Jesus can set aside his crown and really step into serving other people, we certainly can too. We can bless and change the world by serving. There's so many examples of Jesus doing this throughout scripture. Author John Maxwell poses this question. What do you think of servanthood? Do you envision it as an activity that's performed by relatively low-skilled or lower-level people at the bottom of some flowchart? Often we assume that if we serve, people will lower their view of us, but this is wrong. Serving other people has exactly the opposite effect on them from what we think it will. People are drawn to those who serve them sacrificially, not repelled by them. Service adds value to people. Service adds value to people. Servanthood is not at all about position or skill. It's about attitude. Leaders seek ways that they can add value to others. And the primary way to do so is by serving them. Jesus was and is the King of the earth. Jesus is the King of the earth, and yet he served others. He washed feet. He healed a woman with his touch. He showed his disciples exactly what servant attitude looked like and exactly how to live it out. Jesus sets this perfect example and then invites all of us to follow. Jesus invites us all to follow. We're called to serve others in ways great and small as we journey through our daily lives in all kinds of ways. We are invited to serve the people who are in our days every day in ways that we might not predict when we wake up. The Apostle Paul instructs in a letter to the Galatians, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Remember that Paul wrote this letter at a time where the people of Galatia were living in a place that was riddled with conflict. They were divided and conflicting about almost everything. A little bit like the culture wars of today. And yet, Paul still called people in this province to rise up and not go for power. Paul called people to rise up and serve each other, to carry each other's burdens. And it can be daunting, maybe a little bit overwhelming, to wake up in the morning and think, geez, how am I going to fulfill the law of Christ today? That can be a lot to think, because we know we're not Jesus. We're not out there performing miracles every day. We're not healing people in the way that he did. But what we can do is serve others. We can serve others as we go about life, as we're able to do so. Later in Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Paul was challenging the Galatians to do good, to serve, to stay the course. Let us do good to all people. These simple words have huge implications. It's a call to action. It's a call to serve God and his people, even when others are fighting for power. We want to come alongside, be willing to get our hands dirty and do good. Now, for most of us, myself included, this might look like a bit of an attitude adjustment, might look like intentional choices day in and day out all along our days. It might not be trips or missional assignments. Mission and service of all kinds are important, and they all play a role in sharing the kingdom, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But if you happen to see service as something that Christians do across the globe, or at a volunteer site, or at certain times, consider this an invitation to really pray through and reflect upon how you are serving those who you love and interact with every single day. Because remember, we're called to do good to all people, not just certain groups. This includes the people you live with. This includes the people you work with, the people you're rubbing elbows with today, tomorrow, next week. How can you really serve and bless your friends and your family? If I'm asked, how can I serve the people I love and my friends, this might feel a little bit more attainable. I might be able to see what the next best step is. But that question of how do you serve your friends and family, while it can help us get started, it can also sting a bit, because sometimes, quite honestly, serving the people we live with and see most often can be a bit hard. It's where endurance comes in. Remember that servanthood is an attitude. It is a lifestyle more than it's ever a project, a volunteer slot, or a trip. Paul did not limit the good we're to do. We're called to do good to all people. We're called to keep on doing good, not grow weary. It takes endurance. It's like this marathon of doing good for the long haul. But the instructions are clear. And simply put, and this is a favorite reminder of mine because it's easy to call forth, saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. Serving others truly can often feel like a thankless and ongoing job. Anybody here serve their family by doing laundry because it never, ever ends? Seriously, though, however, Paul warned us here and challenges us to trust in the Lord no matter what and just keep on going. Don't give up. Keep on doing good, and in his timing, the harvest will come. In this book, again, Blessed, there are three P's that are outlined as lessons on serving, and they are a bit of a how-to for us. And they're actually taken from Jesus' perfect example of healing a deaf man in Mark chapter 7. First up, it's proximity. Ferguson reminds us that people Jesus served were those who were in front of him, near him, those in close proximity. Jesus made miracles happen by doing so. Jesus made miracles happen by serving the people who were at his feet. We know stories of him traveling about, and on his way, he encountered so many people with astounding needs. Jesus served those who were in front of him right along his journey. Sometimes we humans have this well-meaning intention to really go out and make a big impact. Get out there and do something great. Go somewhere special. Sign up to serve. And sometimes this leads to really amazing things, to big impact. But sometimes, unfortunately, this way of thinking can paralyze us, can lead us to stall out and not really ever get much done. The people we serve are literally at our feet. People we serve are in our everyday lives, at home, in your neighborhood, on the kids' sideline, at work, on trips, wherever you are. Ferguson says this and sums it up quite well. God has either sent you to the people you are to serve, or he's going to send you the people that you are to serve. Almost without exception, the people you're meant to serve will be in close proximity, right around you. Next up, personally. Jesus served people personally. In the story of the deaf man being healed, we see Jesus pull the man aside, and he didn't do this to scold. This was because he knew personally that this was going to be the best way to serve this man with respect and give him dignity. And as we use the principles that we've studied in prior weeks to begin with prayer, to listen well to other people, and to eat with those around us, we have this opportunity to really get to know people, to dive in personally in relationship with someone else. We can see how we can add value to their lives and to do them good, not for ourselves, but for them. It's really, really hard to serve people when you can't and don't understand their needs. Sometimes needs can be obvious, but in lots of scenarios, we must really see the world with an other's orientation. We have to stop what we're doing, really look, really listen, and get to know people personally. It's often this one-on-one time that allows us to best serve and love one another. It's in relationship that we truly can show love and mercy and grace in a personal way. When we make assumptions because we don't know a person or a situation up close and personally, that's where we can get into mistakes. That's where we can actually do harm at times. It's in personal relationships that we really can share the love of Christ. And finally, the third P, we can serve powerfully. Ferguson says this: when Jesus served, he accessed God's power. And to me, this is world-changing because we can access that same power. When you think about serving, you likely think about doing good deeds, anything from shoveling a driveway to adopting a child. But never forget that when you serve, you have available to you the power of God. And Ferguson points us to scripture found in John chapter 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. We have access through prayer and petition to a very powerful and mighty God. Serving others often requires us to step out of our comfort zones in ways that we don't expect, in ways that might cause us a little bit of fear, maybe make us feel a bit uncomfortable. We might feel overwhelmed because the work at hand feels so great or different from our everyday. But be encouraged by these words from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Wow. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God makes all things possible. More than we can dream, more than we can think up or plan, God makes all things possible, and he works within us. We have to be a willing vessel. God works within us, and we have access to that power. As we deeply consider a lifestyle and an attitude of serving, we're also called to take this posture of humility, a posture of humility that really allows us to dig in and get in the trenches with other human beings. It's tough, but it's important stuff. And another consideration, be humble enough to allow other people to serve you. Be humble enough to allow other people to serve you. Allow others the privilege to care for you in your times of need. Not only do every single one of us need to be cared for by his people and other Jesus followers, it keeps us humble. It helps us to experience his love and to really belong. Be humble enough to allow other people to serve you. As we serve other people, we don't do it for our own glory. We can serve and not tell anyone about it, truly. Serving is an expression of our love for God and for his people. We serve, we strive to bless others, And when we do so, we get a better chance to see the people in our lives just as Jesus sees them. And that's an amazing thing. When you get personal with someone and you have the opportunity to serve them and really lift them up and add value to their lives, you get to see people in this tremendous way, full of value, with unique giftings as our brothers and sisters in Christ who were wonderfully made children of God. God cares for all of his children, all of us, every single one of us. He cares for his children and he calls us to do the very same thing. We bring glory and honor to the Lord when we serve those in need all along our journey, inside our homes, our neighbors next door, and far, far beyond, in a variety of ways that we often just don't plan. When we see a need and we meet it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 says this, "And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Let's watch together. That video, it was titled The Least. And as I searched this week for an element to share this morning, I read the tagline and the description for it. And it said, "It's so easy to go to church, but so difficult to be the church." It stings a bit, because as a human, I find it to be true. We get distracted, we get overwhelmed, and then we fail to respond to others around us. This can be especially true when we are looking to rely on ourselves for all the answers. When we only rely on ourselves to try to figure it all out and solve all the world's problems. We have access to a powerful God that we can rely on. God calls the church to get involved, to be concerned about the people who are suffering and left behind. And that includes the people who are suffering here this morning, later today, the people who are truly right at our feet. If we're humble and honest, if we're open, when we stop to look and listen, we can quickly see that there are people hurting all around us. We're called to be the church in our daily lives. We can respond to this calling on our lives and his mission by taking one step at a time. You see, you might be able to do for one what you wish you could do for many. And by taking that next best step, you might give the encouragement to change one life, to help someone find their footing and their way forward. Each of us has a unique mission field right before us, and we're called to action in all sorts of ways. The way that you carry this out will not look like your spouse or your family member or your friends. It's unique to you, but you're called to action. You can emulate Jesus to a loved one. You can show your friend his style of love. You can truly bless your neighbor. Don't complicate it. You can respond personally to those that you are near with his incredible, life-changing love working in and through you. Serving helps us to become more like Christ. Serving helps us to share the good news of the gospel. And as followers of Christ, we're to help and serve others in practical, everyday kind of ways. God's handiwork, his beautiful people, should never be treated as inferior or left behind. So we're commanded to do good for all. As we serve real people, we can pray that they might get to know Christ as they interact with us. As we serve people, we can pray that they might get a glimpse of Christ by interacting with us. And as we consistently live a lifestyle of service, we might get the chance to answer the question, why? Why do you serve? Why do you live the way that you do? While all of our answers are going to be somewhat unique, the chance to answer the question of why gives us this authentic and meaningful, non-aggressive way for us to tell his story to the world, to share his goodness, his love. It's a chance to tell the story of how our lives have been changed forever because of his work on the cross for every single one of us. Team's going to join us again on stage, and as they get ready to do so, I'm going to leave you with a challenge. This week, I hope that you'll accept the challenge to really consider your own life, your own lifestyle, along with your attitude. Take inventory of your priorities, your intentions, your response to the calling on your life. Really pray through if you have barriers that are holding you back from serving other people. How can you be intentional in addressing them? And don't worry, if I just spouted out too many questions at one time, they're all on the app in the sermon notes section, or you can call us. How can you be intentional in addressing all of these things that are in your life that can impact the way in which you serve other people so that you can get down to it and really bless others and change the world? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy for all of us and for the perfect example of servanthood that you've given us. Lord, thank you that you've walked the earth as man. Thank you that you took the cross so that we could be free. We seek to serve you and your people. We want our lives to glorify you. Help us, Lord, to find the ways that we can see and meet the needs around us. Sustain us, Father, so that we can not grow tired, not grow weary, but continue to do good for all. Help us to remove the barriers that are in our hearts and our minds, the barriers in our schedules, and all the places that barriers hide in our lives so that we can really bless others. God, we pray for the people we're going to encounter today, and we ask that you might help us to see them just as you do. Thank you, Father. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.